Good to be back. It's been like 2 weeks since we've been up here. We all hung out together, except for last week where we pretty much spent the entire time making fun of Alyssa. If you missed that, that stinks for you. No, sorry. It was Alyssa making fun of her boyfriend. That's what it was. And her mom. Yeah, that too. I'm kicking candy. Sarah, why am I kicking candy? Okay. I don't want to kick candy all night. We spent, I don't know, the last 8-9 weeks or so talking about prayer. There was a reason for that. We're going to find out what it is soon. But we're changing directions a little bit. Okay? We're going to start this off. I got a video. Watch the video. Pay attention. Lights and sound.
Minutes. The entirety of humanity in the palm of your hand, crushed into one sentence. Listen, it's intense, right? God, our sins, paying everyone life. The greatest story ever told that's hardly ever told. God. Yes, God, the maker and giver of life. And by life, I mean any and all manner and substance, seen and unseen, what can and can't be touched, thoughts, image, emotions, love, atoms, and oceans, God. All of it is handiwork, one of which is masterpiece, made so uniquely that angels look curiously. The one thing in creation that was made with his imagery, the concept so cold. It's the reason I stay bold, how God breathed in a man and he became a living soul. Formed with the intent of being infinitely, intimately fond. Creator and creation held an eternal bond. And it was placed in perfect paradise till something went wrong. A species got deceived and started lusting for his job and odd list of complaints. As if the system ain't working, and used that same breath he graciously gave us to curse him. And that sin seed spread through our soul's genome. And by nature of your nature, your species, you participated in the mutiny. Our, yes, our sins. It's nature inherited. Black in the human heart, it was over before it started. Deceived from day one and led away by our own lust. There's not a religion in the world that doesn't agree that something's wrong with us. The question is, what is it? And how do we fix it? Are we eternally separated from a God that may or may not have existed? But that's another subject. Let's keep grinding. Besides, trying to prove God is like deep in a lion, homie. It don't need your help. Just unlock the cage. Let's move on how our debt can be paid. Short and sweet. The problem is sin. Yes, sin. It's a cancer. An asthma, choking out our life force, forcing separation from a perfect and holy God. And the only way to get back is to get back to perfection. But silly us, trying to pass the course of life without referring to a syllabus. This is us. Keep up your good deeds. Chant, pray, meditate. But all of that, of course, is spraying cologne on a corpse. Or you could choose to ignore it as if something don't stink. It's like stepping in dog poop and refusing to wipe your shoe, but all of that ends with how good is good enough. Take your silly list of good deeds and line them up against perfection. Good luck. That's life past your pay grade. The cost of your soul, you ain't got a big enough piggy bank, but you could give it a shot. But I suggest you throw away the list, because even your good acts are an extension of your selfishness. But here's where it gets interesting. I hope you're closely listening. Please don't get it twisted. It's what makes our faith unique. Here's what God says is part A of the gospel. You can't fix yourself. Quit trying. It's impossible. Sin brings death. Give God his breath back. You owe him. Eternally separated. And the only way to fix it is someone die in your place. And that someone gotta be perfect. Or the payment ain't permanent. So if and when you find a perfect person, get him or her to willingly trade their perfection for your sin and death in. Clearly, since the only one that can meet God's criteria is God, God sent himself as Jesus to pay the cost for us. His righteousness. His death functions as payment. Yes, payment. wrote a check with his life, but at the resurrection we all cheered, because that means the check cleared. Pierced feet, pierced hands, blood-stained Son of Man, fullness, forgiveness, free passage into the promised land. That same breath that God breathed into us, God gave up to redeem us. And anyone and everyone, and by everyone I mean everyone, who puts their faith and trust in Him and Him alone, can stand in full confidence of God's forgiveness. And here's what the promise is, that you are guaranteed full access to return to perfect unity by simply believing in Christ and Christ alone. You are receiving life. Yes, life. This is the gospel. God, our sins, paying everyone life.
All right. So, here's my thing. At camp, the example came up. I used whatever. Christian was going to ask Bryce a question. Does anybody remember what it was? No idea. So we've slept since then. Got it. Luckily for you, I have a good memory. He was going to ask Bryce out of a joke, do you know Jesus loves you? Okay? Does anybody remember what I said in regards to that at all? Yeah. No. Okay? Yeah, Bryce. Yeah. I told him straight up, I said, I wouldn't do that because I know Bryce, and sometimes he can be as slick as I am. And just because I'm slick and we were at camp, I would have said, no, I don't. Why don't you tell me about it? Just to test you. Just to see if you really knew what you were talking about. Because at that point, Christian's on the spot. Well, he does, and he walks off like he looks like an idiot at camp in front of all your Christian friends. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, okay? Somebody go Romans 1:16, okay? Matthew 10:32, Luke 22. Actually, don't do Luke 22. Hang on. Just Romans 1:16. Yeah, starting there. Okay, hang on. Romans 10:16. Or Romans 1:16, sorry. Who's got Romans 1:16? Romans 1:16. In like two-thirds of the way back in the book, right after Acts, right before 1 Corinthians. All right, Romans 1:16. Somebody read it. All right, I'm not ashamed of the good news. Okay, keep that in mind. Sarah, go ahead with Matthew 10:32-33. So, don't be ashamed of the gospel, and if you acknowledge Christ on here on earth, He's going to acknowledge you in heaven before the Father. So, let's go Luke 22. Lose my iPad. I gotta get a new podium thing. All right, so they arrested him and led him to the high priest's home. Peter followed at a distance. Okay, who'd they arrest? Jesus. All right. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, "This man was one of Jesus' followers." But Peter denied it. "Woman," he said, I don't even know him." After a while, someone else looked at him and said, "You must be one of them." "No, man, I'm not," Peter retorted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, "This must be one of them, because he is a Galilean too." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you even know me." And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. So, Peter denies Christ after he told him that he was going to do it. He ran away weeping bitterly because he knew what he had done. So somebody define evangelism for me. That's a big church word. Somebody define it for me. Teaching the gospel to other people. Okay. That's pretty much as simple as it gets. Okay. Announcing the good news. What's Romans 1:16 say? I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news. So, evangelism is for who? Us. Okay? Go Acts 11. How do you say word and flip pages? Oh, okay. I was like, so, I'll get there in a minute. So here's the deal. Acts is such a weird book in history. There's like crazy different schools of thought that go on in this. Within the last couple weeks, I've decided that I really wanted to study through this book, and I really want to try and figure out kind of where I stand on all this stuff, how it applies. Here's what I've noticed at this point. Okay. Acts is like a description of Peter and Paul's journeys. But if we focus on those things, it's real easy to miss the big picture of the book of Acts. The big picture of the book of Acts, no matter what you believe about this, that, or the other inside the book, is the growth of the church. Okay? So, First Christian Center of Jerusalem. Okay. Growing like crazy. That's what this book is about. All the rest of this stuff, any miracles? Awesome. Speaking in tongues? Awesome. Healing? Awesome. But at the end of the day, it's about the growth of the church that goes from somewhere 12 apostles plus a group 72 to 120. Okay. So somewhere between like 80 and 150 people. To about 100,000 over the course of one book. So when we read that, keep that part in mind. All right? Verse 19. Meanwhile, the believers who had been scattered during the persecution after Stephen's death traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch of Syria. They preached the word of God, but only to Jews. However, some of the believers went to Antioch from Cyprus and Cyrene, began preaching to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. The power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. When the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw this evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy and encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went on to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. It was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. So what does this tell us about who was involved in spreading the good news of Jesus? Antioch? No, not quite. Who was involved in this? Verse 19. It's right there, like first five words. Believers. How many? A lot. So was it just like the religious experts, or was it the whole church? The whole church. Was there a clear strategy for this? Was there like a specific plan and mission for this to happen? No. So, do you think that the fact that people were doing a bunch of different things, like I said, you look at verse 19, they're scattered all over the place. Okay, they preached the word to Jews, they preached it to Gentiles. Do you think that things were maybe a little bit chaotic? So if they didn't have a plan, then what made them decide to do this? What made them actually have the courage and the ability to begin having these conversations? Nobody? Why would they just randomly show up and start preaching to people? Do what? They love Jesus. It's not a trick question. Nobody gets it. Like, they just watched Stephen die for this. They see him die and they all run. And at some point they decide, I'm tired of running. And so they begin to preach. They begin to spot every opportunity that they can find to share the gospel. Again, down into verse 26, they found Paul. They stayed at the church for a year, teaching large crowds of people. Are we good at doing this? No. Why? Why is it that they literally just watched Stephen die? I mean, stoned, like straight up, throwing rocks on the ground, dead. They run off for a little bit, and they come back, and they decide, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to go ahead and continue to preach anyways. So why are we not good at it? Extended silence means not rhetorical question. Don't comprehend what? How important it is to share. Okay? Anything else? Any other ideas as to why we're not good at this? We're not pushed like they were. Who pushed them? Anybody was trying to kill them. So if I told you, Sarah, I'm going to kill you if you don't share the gospel, that would make you do it? Emily, get my gun. Oh, no, don't do that. Why would that motivate you more than just a real deal love for Jesus and other people? Because that's what theirs was. Like, let's be real. Who in here just wants to die? Okay, so Kayla. Okay, Kristen. Okay, that means that either A, you are half listening to what I said at camp, or B, you're crazy. That's how that works. Because like I talk camp like I'm good, I'm done. I want to go home. The rest of y'all are just straight crazy. Like, I want to die. My life sucks. Oh, poor me. Really? Like, Steven's getting stoned. Your boyfriend broke up with you. I want to die. Really? Sorry, Kristen broke up with her boyfriend. Same thing. So now she wants to die. It's fine. It's her fourth boyfriend since camp, so it's okay. Give her another couple of days. She'll get another one. I am mean. You only dated like three guys at camp. So.
I dated zero.
Okay. Whatever. Sarah did have a six-hour boyfriend, though. That really did happen. I was there. So, yeah, 6 hours. So. Anyways, here's the deal here. We act like these are big, huge issues, but, like, they're not. It doesn't matter. These guys watch Stephen get stoned and continue to do this. So what does this tell us? Verses 19 down to 26, why they saw so many people come to know Jesus. Again, hint, hint, long silence equals non-rhetorical. Okay, what does this passage tell us about why they saw so many people come to know Jesus? They were pushed and didn't want to die. No. They loved who? They loved Jesus. Okay, I would be willing to say that everybody in this room would at least venture to say at least they kind of love Jesus, but they're not seeing hundreds of thousands of people come to know Jesus. So what did they do differently that we're not doing? They had more courage,
they had
more effort. Not all of them, but some of them. So more courage, more faith, more effort. For what? What did they do to see so many people come to know Jesus? They talked about it. Like, I love Jesus, and you go lock yourself in your room, nobody's going to hear about it. They talked about it. They knew what the penalty was. What was the penalty?
Death.
And they did it anyways. They loved Jesus enough to not care what the penalty is and talked about him anyways. So what's our penalty today? You won't be cool in school, you'll get made fun of. You'll seem delusional. Okay. Which one's worse? Not be cool, be made fun of, or death?
Death.
So what's our problem? Of what? Death? You're not going to die. Like, we're not in China where they're like, talk about Jesus, I kill you.
Nothing like death.
Yes. Churches meet underground in the dark by candlelight, by the tens of thousands. Yes, underground. In China, because it's illegal to read and teach the Word of God. There is a million people meeting in churches underground by candlelight in China because they care more about hearing the Word of God than they do about the government saying we'll kill you. Pick one, but a lot of it is Buddhism. It's Buddha is not green. and make it out of everything. We're not going into the Buddha thing, because then I got to argue fat Buddha versus skinny Buddha, and they're two totally different things, and yeah. There is a skinny Buddha. I'm telling you, it's crazy, okay? No, he's not Muslim, okay? I'm just telling you, like, I can have this argument all day long. It's kind of funny, but a whole other story. So, like I said, the Christians in China are meeting underground by candlelight under the penalty of death just to hear the word of God. And maybe you could say it was out of rebellion, but they're doing it for 8 to 12 hours a day. That's not out of rebellion. Like, you do something out of rebellion for like 10 minutes until you find out that like nobody cares. You'll do it for like 12 hours a day. Like, reading chapters and books at a time of the word. I don't know all the details. Well, yeah, that's true too. There's like 8 million people in China or something. Probably more than that. So, somebody read verse 26. All right, at Antioch, it was where they were first called Christians. Does anybody know what Christian means?
Little Christ.
Little Christ. I told you that at camp. I'm done. Like, Sarah learned something when I talked. Mission accomplished. Okay, anyway. Oh, I could have died before then, but I'm good now too. Why do you think they were called this? They believed in Christ? Not quite. They tried to mimic him. Okay? My younger brother had a nickname growing up all the time. What was it, Emily? Mini-me. That's what they called him. Mini-Aaron. Everything I did, that's what he did. Emily was sitting in the office today messing with Karis. She's got a little golf set. Okay? I told you that was going to happen. So she has a little golf set. She's going to go to college on a scholarship for playing golf. So Emily had one of the clubs in her hand, and she took the club, holding it with both hands, and she goes like this. Immediately, Karis takes the club both hands, goes like this. Like, she's mimicking her. She's doing everything she can to be just like her. My brother would do the same thing. I went out, bought a race car as soon as my brother could drive. Went and bought a race car. I bought a motorcycle. My brother bought a motorcycle. Did everything he could to be just like me. Little Christ. Huh? Yes, he has a kid. He had one before me. We're not even going there. So, based on that, what should our lives look like as Christians? Like Christ. What does that mean? Be unashamed? So Jesus spent the last 3 years of his life doing what? Ministry. Preaching the gospel. Knowing full well, like, not even the penalty of what I'm doing is possibly death. He knew he was going to die. It was all over from the beginning. Like, Sarah says, I'm not going to China because I don't want that issue. That's what Jesus did. He said, if I go to China and preach, I know I'm going to die. Let me get that plane ticket real quick. That's what he did. Yet, when I turn around and ask, what did they do in this passage that we're not doing, what was it? We're not talking about it. So we show up at church on Wednesday night and we say, we love Jesus! And we walk out the door and we're like, who dat? Who are you talking about? Jesus? Yeah, that's some dude, I think. White dude, blue eyes, blonde hair, something. Those of y'all who have been in church any period of time at all know that that's totally not even remotely true. He looked probably realistically more like Osama bin Laden than he did Justin Bieber. Okay? Do we need to go here? Okay. It does sound weird. That's the whole purpose, but I'm just saying. So, think about for a second, okay, based on what we've got here, based on what we saw in the video, and what is the good news to us? Okay, extended period of silence is not rhetorical, okay, or actually is rhetorical this time. Sorry, I mixed it up. Just think about it for a minute. If you got paper, maybe write it down. Just think for a second. What is the good news to you? Not to me, not to your mom and dad, not to Emily, to you and you alone. Yeah, too bad. Come get him. Oh. Hey, I said to you, not to Sarah. Here's the deal. This is important for us to know if we're going to talk about it. What did the believers in this passage talk about? How did they know Jesus?
From other Jesus believers.
Yeah, either from other people or they walked with him and talked with him. So, if we're going to know what we're going to talk about, what we're going to share, then we need to know what it is we believe, why we believe it, and all of that, right? Okay, yeah. Here's the deal. I've made this super simple. You do complain too much. You can't help it. Do all things without arguing or complaining. Where is that, Bryce? No, sorry. Where is that, Emily? You should have that one memorized. Pretty sure it's like 1 Thessalonians. That would be a watch. A black one. So, here's the deal. If we're going to be like these believers, whose job was to be what? Little Christ. Hey, we're paying attention. How are we actually going to communicate that with our friends?
Be little Christ.
Be little Christ. Yeah, it's got to be more specific than that. So here's where we're at. Okay, the first one. Okay. We have gospel. Now, normally there's not periods here, so this is for a reason, okay? This is all cute and simple and easy. Gospel. God created us to be with him. That's Genesis 1 and 2. That's what God created us, put us in the garden, said, I want to hang out with you guys. What happens in Genesis 3? They sin. But how did God find out that they sinned?
No,
before that. God goes into the garden to do what? Have you been here long enough? You've heard me talk about this. No, he doesn't go into the garden to pray. Beginning of Genesis 3, God's doing what? Somebody look it up. Hurry up. He's going for a walk. Why in the world is God walking through the garden on earth? Because it's pretty? No. Really? The Garden of Eden versus heaven? Come on. What'd you say? He wants to hang out with us. Genesis 3, it says, as he was walking through the garden in the cool of the day. Went on vacation this last week. Emily's like, let's go sit out by the pool. I'm like, it's 3 o'clock. It's the hardest part of the day. I ain't going outside. So God waited until the cool part of the day to go walking through the garden for our benefit. He wanted to hang out with us. That was his whole purpose from the beginning. God created us to be with him. So then Genesis 3. Our sin separates us from God. They sin. Here we go with the whole snake slithering on the ground. Women are going to have pain in childbirth. Men got to work the ground. Yada, yada. You want more about it? Read Genesis 3. Okay? Real simple, sweet. Okay? Some people, it's like the original, like, prophecy of Christ. Some people, it's why women hate snakes. Either way, the fact, see, there you go. Yeah, sure. So either way, the fact of the matter is, we sin, there's now separation. So we've got G, we've got O. What's next? S. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Every other religion in the world, this is how you get rid of sin. If I do enough good to outweigh my bad, I can go to heaven. It's not how it works. See, Genesis 4 to Malachi 4, they tried this. God set up the law. Here it is. Here's all the laws. Here's Genesis law. Here's Mosaic law. Here's Levitical law. Here's all this stuff. Here's the sacrifices. Here's how you make it right on your own will. What did we find out over and over and over again? It don't work. There's like 623 laws. It means even if you picked two a day to try and follow, you still couldn't measure up. So what do we have to do at that point to get rid of our sins? Nope, we're not there yet. Yeah, you had to kill animals. So, here's the deal. You're driving home. Luckily, I don't live very far, so this won't be me. On the way back from Arkansas yesterday, this was me. Driving home. Go to pull around past an 18-wheeler. Somehow this 18-wheeler doesn't see me or realizes, hey, I'm bigger than you and I want that spot. So he just turns his wheel and decides to come on over. I am not a happy camper. I might have screamed some things I shouldn't have. So here's what needs to happen. I've got to pull over to the side of the road, go find a lamb. Luckily, I'm smart enough, so I have one in the back of my car. Reach out on the side of the road, build me a cute little altar. Cut the lamb's neck, let the blood flow everywhere, burn it up on the altar. Okay. Now that 4-hour process is done, let's get back in the car, drive down the road. By the way, like 10 minutes later, somebody else cut me off, and I got really pissed off about it. No, they didn't. They were driving 55 in the left-hand lane and a 75. Either way, I was still pissed off about that. So again, pull off to the side of the road, get the lamb that I just so happened to have in the trunk because I'm too lazy to go catch it, build an altar, slit the throat, drain the blood, burn it. This is what they had to do over and over and over again. Wouldn't it be smarter to do it at the end of the day? Luckily, God's smart enough that he set up a little bit better process than that. Okay, but that was how it still worked out. That was the plan. Every sin you have, here's what you got to do. Not fun. I don't know how anybody would get anything done. Because I gave you the easy version. We're not even talking about all the details that had to go into actually preparing this sacrifice itself. It was like an all-day process. Needless to say, it would take me like 3 weeks to get home from Arkansas if we had to do this. So, here's the thing. Sin can't be removed by good deeds. Law, sin, a sacrifice. Law, sin, sacrifice. Law, sin. At some point, God says, enough is enough. Moving on to the P. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. All of Matthew and Luke. God says, I need a better way. I need a way to end this once and for all. So he sends Jesus. He dies on the cross. He comes to live again, perfect sacrifice, so we can have eternal life and move forward. So no longer, like I said, I'm driving home from Arkansas, I get mad at this guy, say some things I shouldn't have. No sacrifice. It's already taken care of. We just do what? Ask for it. Okay? On to the E. Everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. Some cute little religions, these are my favorite people in the whole world. Literally, I love to argue with them just because it makes me happy and they feel really dumb. And that makes me happy. Jehovah's Witnesses. Here's what they believe. Only 144,000 people are going to make it to heaven. That's what they believe. You know what's funny? You know how many Jehovah's Witnesses there are in the world? A whole lot more than 144,000. So, here's how this works. Every Sunday, there's a whole bunch of Jehovah's Witnesses that are skimpering off to church, going to church, sitting there wasting a whole bunch of time that, according to them, aren't going to make it in. So how do you determine if you're getting in or not? Nope. You believe? So how do the Jehovah's Witnesses know if they're getting in or not, or how do they make it better so they can get in? A sacrifice? No. What? Become a preacher? No. What is it, Derek? Neither is anybody else. They don't know. Basically, their thing is, when we get to heaven, we'll find out which one of us got chosen. Hello. But you know what? People sign up for it every day. Oh, yeah. Let me sign up for that. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not, but let me on that train. What does the Bible say? Anyone who confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes that God raised him from the dead will be saved. Anyone. Now ask a Jehovah's Witness how to explain that one in the Bible that they believe. They don't know. Oh yeah, they read the Bible. It's like a secondary book though. They have this other Bible thing. I don't remember. What is their book called? Oh, yeah, don't get me started. I forget. Yeah, I'm mixing that one in Mormonism. Don't get me started on that mess. I'm going to, y'all are going to get me pissed off. No, that's Mormons. So, anyways, here we go. That's the whole deal. Like, anybody who believes. So, here's my favorite argument. Because, see, again, the whole idea is for us to do what with this? Share it. Okay, so when you get to this point, I guarantee you at some point somebody's going to say this to you. What if you're wrong? You know what my favorite answer to that is? They love this because they don't know how to reply. If I'm wrong, I messed up for this life. If you're wrong, you messed up for eternity. You know what they usually reply to that? They just sit there. They're just stuck. Because they're like, oh, yeah. No. Because usually where they sit is, once it's life's over, you just die. So life's over. It's good. So the worst thing I've done is devoted my life to a religion that's fake. And I'm dead. Awesome. The worms are going to eat my body, and I'm going to, you know, wither away and all that kind of stuff, and I'm dead. If they're wrong, they spend eternity burning in hell. Make your choice. If I'm wrong, there is no hell. So I just die. Big deal. Right, so it's no big deal. But if they're wrong, I go to heaven and they go to hell for eternity. And they have no idea how to respond to that. So they're completely stuck. On to the L. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. Again, multiple places in the Bible, God wants his best for us. He wants to bless us. He wants to make us prosperous. He wants to give us life and life more abundantly. And it lasts through eternity. Okay, y'all have heard me talk about it before. We're set up and made to be kings and rulers. That's what God wants for us. And he's prepping us for that now. And it lasts into eternity. So again, back to the last point. If I'm wrong, big deal. If you're wrong, y'all heard at camp the way he described hell. That didn't sound like anywhere I want to go. I'd rather live with Jesus forever. Because you've heard Pastor Steve talk about it before, or pretty much any other pastor that's ever stepped foot in the pulpit. We know the end of the story. We've read the back of the book, and we win. We have life eternally. So, all that to say, no, you're not going to go up to your friends and be like, hey, let me read this paper to you. If you want to, that's fine. They might be bored. If it works, go for it. So then what's the point of this? Understand it and present it in your own style. And you got to know it to teach it. These top headings make it real simple. God created us to be with him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Everyone who trusts in him is eternal life. Life with Jesus starts now and forever. My favorite part about this deal, when I was growing up, they had the bracelets. You've seen them with the guy like the beads on it, black, red, white, yeah, all that. Here's my problem with those beads. Emily, what did the blue bead stand for? All right, so we'll go with that one because she didn't remember. The red was blood. What was the verse behind that? So she doesn't know. You had to memorize these specific verses. What have I given you? Massive chunks of scripture. Like, really? How hard is this? Genesis 4 to Malachi 4. Basically the whole Old Testament. The blue one was baptism. Yeah. I can tell you what they are, every single one of them. But I can't tell you the verses that went along with every one of them. Yes, yellow one's for heaven. There's massive chunks of scripture. It's simple. Hey, where'd it go? Yeah, paying the price for sin. Jesus died and rose again. Man, Matthew through Luke. If you want to get technical, John's in there too. Hey, it's the Gospels. Good. Story of Jesus. Simple and easy. You're not trying to remember like Romans 6:23 or 9:23 or 10:9. All you're trying to remember, point blank, is the Gospels. Simple and easy. So the idea is, memorize the top six, the big six headings. But go through on the bullet points and read and understand what's going on through there, because it explains them all more in depth. Because, see, again, the whole idea is for us to share what we know, to talk about what we know, and to share this around. Whether that's Haltom High School or Tennessee State, that's our job. So why does this matter? Why would I bring this up and give this to you? Because we're going to talk about it for the next few weeks. Part of that talking about it is you're going to be quizzed on that. Not like a school quiz where you get a grade and some of that kind of stuff. But in Sarah's so eloquent words, you're going to get a Jesus grade. So, Sarah, what does that Jesus grade consist of? Yeah, no. Okay. So, somebody tell me what the Jesus grade consists of. No. Going to heaven or not? No. Heavenly rewards, meaning? Your position, that's part of it. Somebody give me the other half. Derek, give me the other half. What is your Jesus reward? Thank you, Bryce. You're fired. So, the crowns. So, I'm not going to, like, spank you for not knowing this, okay? Your parents would get mad at me and I'd get fired, so that really can't happen. Knowing these and talking about them, sharing the gospel, is what gives us crowns in heaven. That's our heavenly reward. What did we talk about at camp? What's the theme verse? Unseen. 4:18. Unseen. The crowns are unseen. Not worry about what we can do here. So we're going to talk about this. We're going to make this simple and easy, and it's going to be second nature to you. Because the hope would be what? When we get done, even before then, really, the hope would be what? No. Not make it in heaven. We can talk to other people about it. Normally and easily with no issue. We're going to find ways to where you're sitting there having a conversation about something that happened on Snapchat and be able to automatically take that conversation straight from Snapchat to Jesus in a matter of minutes. In a simple and easy way. And you're going to get really cool little things like, oh, I ran into an atheist. Awesome. We want to talk about that. I ran into a Jehovah's Witness. We want to talk about that. So take this week and think about it. Okay? Look over it. Study it. Memorize it. If you can give me all 6 next week, I'll give you a cute little prize so you can be all happy and, you know, you can have a scene reward, although it's bigger than that. Okay? But the long and short of this picture is, this is for longer term. And you're going to find out just how easy this picture is. I'm going to show you easy ways, I'm going to show you simple ways, and I'm going to even set you up to make it easy for you. And you're going to love it. I promise. Why? She said, oh, Jesus. That's why we want to talk about it. All right? So, simple intro. Everybody laugh at Bryce for having a shaved head and because it's his last week with us. Pretty sure, isn't it? Yeah, he's peacing out. Bryce doesn't love us anymore, so I got to find somebody else to pick on. So, my recommendation.
Me. Sarah, pick on me. So, pick on me all the time.
No, but you say I'm mean, so I'm not picking on you anymore.
Sorry.
So, anyways, so, here's the deal. Okay, real quick, we'll be done. We'll get out of here. Youth Council, if you want to be a part of that, I need to know tonight. Go home, look at this. Emily's going to post the concert on Instagram again with the link to the YouTube video. Show up and bring your friends, okay? Here's what I'm going to tell you, real deal. What did we talk about tonight? Sharing the gospel. Why don't we do it?
Because we're scared.
I've taken that excuse away.
Okay.
Don't worry about being scared.
You
bring them to the concert and somebody will do it for you. You don't have to be scared. Bring them to the concert, somebody will do it for you, and you don't have to worry about being made fun of. It's a hip-hop concert. Your friends are listening to the music. It's free. Bring them to the concert and somebody will take care of that for you. It's just that simple. Okay? Any questions? All right. See y'all on Sunday. Hey, a pen. All right. That works too. Go talk to